Hey everyone, Justin here with HuntLink by ServiceSide. I am joined on the mic as we're diving into turkey season here. We open this weekend. Wanted to get a company on here that been honestly wanting to get them on here for a little bit now, and schedules worked out and we were able to do it. But to talk a little bit about their new turkey vest, their turkey line, a couple other things they have going on, and then obviously to talk turkey. But I'm joined on the mic here by Joe Schrader. He is with product development at Alps. What's going on, Joe?
Not too much, Justin. Thanks for having me on. I'm pretty excited to be on and kind of tell our story and talk a little turkey.
For sure. I'm sure most of our listeners have probably seen Alps, you've heard of Alps, but real quick, kind of tell us a little bit more. What is Alps, and kind of like what do y'all have going on?
So Alps is a family-owned business. There's a few brands under that Alps brands umbrella. The original one was Alps Mountaineering, started in the early 90s, and then Alps Outdoors started in 2007. Obviously, the family members are still very heavily involved with the kids now taking over. We have products as far as the outdoors side goes in pretty much any category you can think of. Turkey, of course, whitetail, big game, more Western focused stuff, predator, upland, and waterfowl. So we're kind of cover all the bases.
So okay, yeah. I mean, that's definitely a wide range. I know y'all have, you said upland and things like that. Now, would you say it's primarily focused around, you know, packs, or do y'all have all types of products?
Packs is definitely one of our core products for sure, but we do have anything from furniture to obviously our camping side does tents, air pads, sleeping bags, trekking poles, all kinds of different things. On the outdoor side, we have all kinds of accessories, vino harnesses, again, hunting furniture. Turkey vests and things like that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got a pretty good range.
Nice. That's awesome. And being around for that long, family-focused company, you know, we're big here at ServiceSide on culture, community, and camaraderie. I feel like that's so much of that gets lost, especially in the hunting space nowadays. And that's really what it's all about. And I love that it's stayed that long, you know, over 30 years there. Now, let's talk a little bit about these turkey vests. So obviously, a lot of people, your algorithm's probably kicked out on the phone by now if you've looked up Alps, and they have a ton of turkey vests that they have going out, but they have a turkey vest that they just actually released. So, Joe, I'll let you take the reins there, but let's talk a little bit, I guess. Let's start with this new vest that you have out, and then maybe we can jump on a few of the other ones.
Yeah, absolutely. So the new one for this year is called the Impact Pro, and that one is or has a predecessor called the Impact Vest, which has been in our line for about a decade or so. That one is based off of your sit-anywhere, stadium-style seat of a turkey vest. The seat flips up behind your back, can be deployed very quickly, has some fiberglass stays in the seat and in the seat back. But the original design is actually based off of a turkey vest called the Bucklick Creek Turkey Vest, which some people might be familiar with and might remember. And that one was actually sold in Bass Pro for a while, but that one was designed and developed by our owner, Dennis Bruni's brother, Paul. So we've had our version of that design in our line for a decade or so, and it's been popular for us, but we decided it needed an upgrade. So we made the seat thicker on the Impact Pro. It's a molded foam seat, and it's vented, so it's an inch thick seat and seat back. Still slides behind your back really comfortably, so you don't have to worry about it being cumbersome. But if you need to be on the move, you can flip it up quickly and get going. But also with that stadium style seat, you can literally sit anywhere and adjust it, adjust your recline with the straps. And you can sit for a long time. I even fell asleep in it this past year doing some doing some testing. And then we also upgraded the shoulder straps. We did a vented and kind of a little bit more ergonomic design on the shoulder straps, so they're a little more comfortable and still lighter, so you can get the gun up and they're not in your way when you're shooting, but they're a lot more comfortable. Kept that sternum strap, so if you're carrying one of the brands of the big, heavy, larger full body decoys, they fit in this game bag now because we made the game bag much larger too. But it also fits a nice mature Tom very easily, but you can carry it easy because these shoulder straps are a lot nicer. I think one of the cooler upgrades we made, with everybody wanting to customize things, and everybody, there's so many different calls out there, and what you want to bring, you can't just nail down to one particular style. So we added Molly webbing on both front panels. We will include two different removable pockets. One of them is an upgraded, a little more structured box call pocket. So you can slide that in on either panel, whichever side you want. But we also have a thermocell pocket as well, a removable thermocell pocket. So that's pretty nice too. But the Molly webbing allows you to buy any number of accessories and clip it on either front panel to be able to access pretty much whatever you would want. One of the other big upgrades is the front two pockets. So on each panel, we'll have a molded foam pocket. So it'll be hard to the touch. It's cushioned on the inside and soft so that it keeps all your custom calls very protected. But yeah, it'll fit. There's one vertical one and one horizontal. So there's spots for pot calls and strikers and flashlights and extra shells and pretty much whatever you would need there. But that's the exciting parts about that too. But we also added a new pattern for us for this particular vest, and we pulled in Mossy Oak Original Bottomland for this one for this year.
Gosh, can't go wrong with Bottomlands, man. Can't go wrong with it.
Yeah, it's hot. It has been for a little while, but yeah, we decided to put that one on this vest for this year.
You know, and I was looking at those harder sided molds that you were talking about in foam. I mean, I'm sure a phone can fit in there pretty easily.
For sure.
I know it's one of those things where I try to leave it in the truck as much as I can, but you know, you see a lot of cool stuff when you're out there in the turkey woods, and being able to take some photos and stuff is nice. But, you know, that's a big one because I've always hated having to shove it in either a zipper pocket, or things like that. It's a hot vest, man. I'm looking at it here and it's nice. I like that. And it's not a bad price point either. The price point's very, very good. I mean, really competitive.
For sure, one of the more exciting aspects of this one is at a basically $40 premium, you get this much heavily upgraded vest from its predecessor, the Impact Vest. So that we were excited about to get it in there at the $149 MSRP. We think that's a really good price for folks, which, I mean, if you're familiar with Alps, that's kind of our MO. Yeah. We try to match specs as best we can to everybody out there, the best vest we can get you for the best price.
No, for sure. And you know what, that's super important because, you know, not everyone does have a disposable income, and I know plenty of people that, you know, it's I get quality, I get all that, I get, you know, prices are what they are for a reason, but having something that, you know, this is within reach of a lot of people, they can put $50 back a check and have it within a month and a half, or you know, things like that. So it's, yeah, I like that price point and then the functionality of it. So that'll definitely, I was telling you when we talked previously, I've been looking at trying a new vest. I've been with the same one for a while, and this one's going to be a contender. But I was also looking at the best overall rated by Field and Stream one that you had, the Super Elite.
Sure.
Would you mind if we kind of chat a little bit about that and kind of why it was best overall from Field & Stream?
Yeah, it's been one of our most popular for quite a while now. It's been around, I don't know the exact years, but it's been around for 5 years plus, and it has just so many. It's your traditional style vest, so it's not a strap vest, more like the Impact and the Impact Pro and some of the other ones we have. It is a traditional vest with mesh front panels on the front. It does have a flip down seat in the back, but it is more of your traditional style, which I think is really popular still. I think probably predominantly in the South, but they love it, and it has a ton of pockets. I think it has 22 total pockets to shove anything you need. So if you like to carry a bunch of stuff, a bunch of different calls, it's got you covered. So it pretty much covers about any style of turkey hunter, whether it's runner gun or sit or just whatever.
No, that's solid. I like the old school style, and you're making my decision a little bit harder to pick a vest, but the price points are all close to each other, and I like that. It was rated, well, and looking at it, it definitely seems like you said down in the South, I could see me rocking that. And then I also know that you had a best turkey vest in production for 2023. Which was that impact one that we've been talking about. Absolutely. But I know you have a little bit, almost, it looks like just a little bit of a smaller price point for that one.
Yeah, it's a little bit lower. That's the one I was talking about a little bit earlier based off of that original design by Paul Bruni. This one, I think what surprises people about it is how wide of a range of folks it actually fits. So you can see on our specs on the website that it goes to a certain width or whatever, but yeah, even the small fits guys. My size, I'm 235, 6 foot tall, so even the small fits me, but the large fits a much wider range even yet. So if it's kids all the way up to grown adults, so that one has been a great one for us. And the panels remove. The cool thing about that one is one of the panels actually removes and you can wear it as a sling pack if you want to drop it and run.
Oh, nice. That's interesting there. I was just looking at the specs on it. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, there's a lot of hidden designs in a lot of our products. Kind of, I don't want to say overbuilt, but you know, we really throw a lot of cool features in a lot of our stuff, and this is no exception.
Hey, that's an even better reason for doing the podcast. So now we know, and I know you have a third version here of the vest that you're not version, but the third vest that you sell, the Grand Slam Turkey vest. It almost looks like that's kind of your Cadillac vest. Let's talk about that and how the design came for that one.
Yeah, if we had a staple in the turkey category for Alps Outdoors, it would be the Grand Slam. It's been huge for us, and it hasn't slowed down. That kickstand is what makes it nice. A lot of people do like to remove the kickstand, which is nice, a nice feature that you can remove that. But if you're sitting for a long time, it's just so nice. You can adjust each leg. It's got the paddle wheel articulating feet on those legs, and they adjust, I think, 8 to 10 inches on each leg. So you can adjust your recline, or if you're sitting on a side hill, you can fix that too. It has the flip down seat. The seat is 3 inches thick, so it's nice and comfortable. And it has a vented back as well. It's more of a strap style vest with that panel front. You'll find that's a common feature on our turkey vests. We like to keep things in the springtime, whether you're in the South or up North. It's nice to have a little bit of breathability, but this one also is pretty versatile. with those front panels, it's got a lot of extra pockets too, spots for your pot calls, your box calls. Obviously it has the nice hard molded spot that fits a minimum of three diaphragm calls as well, or mouth calls. So this one's pretty versatile for us too.
No, that's solid. I can see why it's such a big hit. I mean, it's still in a good price point, and then has the structure to help you to get you in good, different positions. Especially, I'm sure it would probably be a huge hit in those little bit more elevations when you start turkey hunting, like Virginia, PA, North Carolina, on the East Coast, things like that. You get a lot of weird terrain sometimes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, even out west, if you're, sometimes you only have a fence row. With a little bit of brush to hide, and you can sneak up in there and flip that thing down and try and call them from a long ways out, and that comes in very handy.
Well, I mean, you guys, it looks like you killed it for 2023, and it seems like the momentum's continuing, you said?
Absolutely, yeah. Turkey stuff is definitely not slowing down. I mean, I don't look directly on other states. Us here in Missouri, I know we had just a very awesome year last year. I think our turkey harvest numbers were up almost 33% for the state, which they weren't bad the year before. So just a lot of people getting out. So we try to give them the most options possible to get it done.
No, that's solid. Same here. I'm in Florida, and I think they do a really good job. I think FWC does a good job with turkeys here, and I think that there's a lot of backing for turkey here, and we have a good population. Our quotas continue to go up. I have a great time turkey hunting here, and I bring people from all over the country. Via our hunt links to experience it also, because obviously we're the only spot with Osceolas, and just a lot of opportunities. So it's always nice when your state has some good stuff going on. I don't want to badmouth the state, but I recently heard a story about a state not doing too well with their turkey, and they were hurting pretty bad. And I was like, man, you could come take some of ours and drop them around.
Yeah, we're fortunate here for sure. I can't speak to many states. I regularly hunt, obviously in Missouri, but I regularly hunt in the state of Nebraska, and I know that they've got some low numbers in areas, and maybe for the state as a whole, I know they've restricted the last couple of years to, I believe, 10,000 tags. But where I hunt in particular, man, there are turkeys everywhere, and I have such a blast up there. It's Merriam's and a little bit of Eastern Merriam mix, hybrids, but man, it's fun.
So,
But yeah, for sure.
Joe, I got a 2-part question here. I was thinking of it while we were talking, but I guess if I know you like them all, especially being designing them and having your hand in a lot of this. But if you had to pick one right now, you're going turkey hunting next week, which one you grabbing first?
I'm gonna take that Impact Pro.
Impact
Yeah,
Pro, nice, yeah.
I'm a guy that I take two pot calls. I take one slate and I take an aluminum. If it's raining, that aluminum works great. It can cut through wind. It's loud. I can put it on my knee or on my leg and kind of muffle it a little bit if I need to. I obviously have two or three. Well, I seem to buy more every year, but mouth calls or diaphragm calls that I like that can do the same. I haven't historically been a box call guy, so I use the slates. That's how I learned. And this one has those nice molded pockets for that, but it's got those sits or those seats, so I can sit pretty much anywhere. I can run. Yeah, and I'm a one, maybe two decoy guy, but I don't carry a bunch where I need to not go real far. I need to sit for a while. I'm pretty lightweight, collapsible decoy sort of setup typically. So I really like that impact. And the Grand Slam is what I have been using, but this one for last year just worked really good for me in multiple states, multiple areas in my own state here.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a slick one. I mean, and it seems to be picking up some steam here. And I know, so the last two vests that you have or vest items that you had were the ambush sling and then the long spur. So these look like they're more of a running gun type of vest too, and one's more of a fanny pack type vest, and then the other one's more of a honestly a fly. It reminds me of a fly fishing.
Yeah, for
Satchel, but
sure. Yeah, the sling style or over the shoulder, whatever you want to say, that one has been good for us too. That one is obviously for the more minimal guys who just want to take a few shells, maybe a box call, pot call, that sort of stuff. And the nice part about it is you can sling it around your back if you're crawling, if you're in heavy grass or reeds or whatever, wherever you're at, brush. If you need to hide around something. Or if you just like to walk, a lot of guys just like to walk and locate, get up on a ridge and see where the turkeys are. If they're like in Missouri has such a great program for public ground. I think close to 85% of people actually still hunt private, but if you are in a place that you don't know where they are, and you go out in the morning and you need to be mobile, it's a fantastic option. you can wear it either in the front or in the back. And that one in particular, not to get off topic, but that one kind of brought on another new product on the whitetail side, where we have a nice new sling pack for the whitetail side too. But that one's called the Adapt, but we can maybe talk about that on a different podcast. But the Longspur, like you discussed, that one is a lumbar style pack, and we've had lumbar packs on our whitetail line since about 2010. And that one is just what it is. It's a run and gun. That one in particular, the Longspur, does not have a seat, so it is meant you can completely remove the shoulder straps, or you can wear the shoulder straps with hat that have a few panels on the front, minimal panels, if you need a run and gun. And it also has a fold down game bag that stores right behind your neck there, between your shoulder blades. And then the upgraded version of that one is the Longspur Deluxe, and that one has a pretty intuitive seat design, that basically you don't have to unhook anything. You just set it up for your own self, how it fits you best, and you just reach back there and flip it, and it just literally just rotates underneath you, and you sit, and then when you get up, you flip it back, take off.
Nice. That's odd. You have me looking now at your whitetail stuff. So I definitely see the trend, and you know, especially with run and gun hunting. I mean, most people that run and gun hunting know that as you continue to do it, like, things like that make sense. Like, I run a pretty much a fanny, almost like the bear that y'all mm-hmm. have, and I run something similar to that, and it's like I can't use a regular pack anymore after using that, just because I do the style of hunting I do. Now, if I'm going to a stand or a ladder stand or something like that, I have a few other packs, but that it's just, you get hooked on that. And then we do a lot of hog hunting here, so honestly, yeah. I relate hog hunting like turkey hunting, at least how we hunt turkeys here. So it's a lot of spot and stalk, it's a lot of run and gun, and something like that, like you said, a thermocell, your shells, bottle of water, a call, and then you're ready to roll.
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of guys do like to carry a bunch, but some people, more like myself, I've got the same slate call for the last 15 years, and it's almost got a hole worn through it, but it still sounds amazing. I know exactly what I'm going to take every time, and that's what I go with.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm the same way. I'm to the point now where each pack has its like own stuff, and I don't even have to switch and swap anymore.
That's crazy, yep.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about turkey here. So these vests, obviously, I mean, like you mentioned, you're able to take your the stuff that you want, whether it's a lot or you want to be minimalistic. You've covered a lot of the features as far as things that we look at as turkey hunters, being able to sit for a long time, so having a comfortable seat, being able to position yourself, especially, you know, that's huge with back problems. Like, I have back issues, and that's one reason I'm looking at the frame, is because, like, you can set yourself up to have those long sits without moving. And any turkey hunter knows that, you know, there's going to be times where you might have one locked up or hung up there, and you're not able to, you got to sit in that spot. You can't really move. He's looking your way. So that, I know that helps with that. And then I like the functionality of like those the vertical and horizontal pockets. That's solid. It's easily accessible. But what do you have planned this year? I mean, are you, do you have any plans for your turkey season?
Yeah. So I'm going to go to Nebraska again. My brother actually lives up there, so I'm going to go for opening day in Nebraska, which is the 13th of April, and then Missouri opens the 15th, which is a Monday, so I'll be jetting back down to try and get a bird on that Monday back home. But yeah, you know, just looking at the different areas that you hunt will definitely, for me at least, dictate what I take. I mean, in Missouri, for instance, if I'm hunting heavy hardwoods, which is a lot of times what I do, instead of field edges, I do need to be more mobile where I'm not sitting. And if those birds, even though I might put them to roost, something happens and they're above me, you know, they always taught me, at least when I was growing up learning, that you'll never call, at least an Eastern, you'll never call an Eastern downhill. So you might have to, that's where a sling pack comes in nice. You just get a, and you got to run around and try and get above him, because they will come uphill. Now they will come downhill sometimes, but that's just kind of, you know, always in the back of my head. You got to get uphill of them. But, you know, if I'm out in Nebraska where everything's rolling hills and nice and flat, I do sometimes need to sit tight and wait, because they can see me anywhere I go. They can see me when I'm trying to come in on them. So you might have to get a spot, wait, and sit and try and get him to come into you. And a lot of times the wind out there, obviously you're not talking about scent, but you're talking about vocalization and having them hear you if that wind is so strong, which a lot of times it is. Out in Kansas and in Nebraska, you might have to get them to turn and come through the wind to you. So it's a waiting game sometimes, which is so much different than run and gun like it is here in Missouri and in the South and places up north too. But yeah, and some of the benefits of some of the other products we have, if you are doing those long sits, is our ground blinds. So I've killed turkeys out of both of our turkey specific ground blinds, the dash panel blind and also the deception. The deception's cool because it's very unique to us. It's really short. I'm not sure if you can see that one on our website there, but it basically is really minimal. You can basically hide down in a hill or in a wall or in the backside of a terrace, and it pretty much covers you completely. In our chairs, it's only actually 46 inches tall total, instead of like your typical ground blind, which is, you know, closer to 60. Our chairs there are three turkey chairs. Well, we have actually five, but all these chairs, this particular deception blind and the dash as well, the windows and the height of it is meant for those nice low turkey chairs.
Oh, I got you.
So you're right at the height of that window, so you don't have to do much movement, and you can see more or less 360 degrees when they're coming in on you. And then the dash is nice because that one's just a panel blind, so you can run and gun with it, throw it up real quick. If you can sneak up over a hill and sit on a fence row or up against the edge of a field where you have some sort of background, trees or whatever it might be, brush, those are extremely helpful too. Trying to get birds in.
No, and I mean it's a solid running gun blind. I was looking at the specs on it. It's I mean 8 pounds, so it's going to be the weight of what your tree stand would be, most tree stands. And then the shortness of it being able to sit, that's pretty solid, because I do have a couple spots that I utilize blinds in, and I have to have like almost like how your stealth chair is. I have to have the a little bit bigger chair, but you're able to sit back and recline down in here. I haven't actually seen a blind that's short like that, I don't think.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the products that's unique to us. To my knowledge, we're the only one that has one short like that, and it is. It's short. It's small. You can pack it up in a carry bag very quickly. But same way with our turkey chairs, or at least three of our turkey chairs. They're like bag chairs where you can slide them up really tight, and you can even strap them to the outside of that that carry bag on the blind and get set up really quickly, so you're not super cumbersome. You flip that thing open, crawl in there, sit in your seat, and you're good to go. And we've got the silent track windows in there, so everything is soundless more or less as you're moving around in that blind and trying to open different windows or close them like a typical ground blind hunter is used to, trying to make sure you don't have a backdrop, so there's not shadow or a silhouette they can see in there. But yeah, that one is an exciting one, and it's fun to hunt out of because it's so little. You know, you're minimal.
Right, right. Well, you're minimal, and then also you're able to, you know, the great thing about a blind is you're able to move. You can eat your lunch, especially on those all day sets. Like I like to be able to drink my water without, having to look around a million times. And you're able to, you know, if you slip up or anything happens, there's been times where I forgot to, put the shell in the gun, and I'm able to, you know, gently push it in there. Obviously, you got to worry about sound, but those are things you can't do when you're out in the open. So they definitely have their place, I think, in the arsenal.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and that's just the nice thing about our line is we pretty much have everything covered, whichever style you need to do. And sometimes it's day-to-day different. Even on the same property, you might have a turkey that's got his particular ridge. And who knows, another bird might come in or different sorts of pressure. and you have to hunt a different ridge or maybe a field edge or a creek bottom, whatever you need, we got you covered.
For sure. Yeah, y'all definitely have a wide range here. And I mean, hunting, I know you were saying you're going to a few different states, like going to Nebraska and sometimes Kansas, but you have all, they have almost all the species in all between those three states, right? Except obviously the Osceola.
Yes, other than the Osceola, I believe in Nebraska and in the western and southern portion of the state, you can find Rios. They for sure have Merriam's. I can't say for sure that I've seen a full-blooded Eastern in Nebraska, but obviously that's what we have in Missouri and what I grew up hunting.
Now, do you primarily... go ahead.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Go ahead.
I was just saying, do you primarily like to stay home or, you know, surrounding states, or are you into doing the 49 and the Grand Slams and things?
Well, I haven't at least had the opportunity yet to go after either a Rio or an Osceola, but my boss, Zach Scheidegger here, he's also in product development. He has got the Grand Slam. I believe it was 2 years ago he was down in Florida and got his Osceola. And he's actually been down to Mexico and got the Gould as well. So he's a little ahead of me there, but I got time to catch up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but is it a goal of yours?
Yeah, it for sure is. I think more of a goal of mine personally is to get the ones I have currently, which is just a Merriam and an Eastern with a bow. I've killed an Eastern with a bow. Merriams arguably are a little easier to kill, but I've had some heartbreak with a bow on that bird in particular. So I'd like to get that done this year.
Now, are you more of a, because this is obviously a super hot topic, especially now within our community, but do you find that you have the most success, or do you enjoy shooting the bow like just a spot and stalk run and gun scenario, or are you trying to use a blind and pattern the animal and roost the bird and things like that?
So far my strategy has been, yeah, for bow to pattern them, try and roost them, try and get set up where I've seen them pitch down and that sort of thing. But obviously, you know how turkeys are. They could change. They could come down every day for a week in the same exact spot within 20 yards. And then the day you're out there, they flip and go the other direction.
Oh, 100%. So
sometimes, yeah, I ditch the blind and go running after them and try and get it done. Which obviously can be harder depending on the terrain and depending on the birds, but that's been my struggle so far with the Merriam is getting close, and yeah, I've bounced some off. I've had them run away, or hit them in the wing, maybe even make not as good of a shot as I'd hoped. You know, it's just the pitfalls of trying to archery hunt turkeys.
Oh yeah, it's one of the hardest. I think it's one of the hardest things. I'm not huge into it. I do enjoy the shotgun and the, you know, still. But I see myself venturing down that route just because being a bow hunter. And but once I feel like I'll know, you know, when you get there. But I hear it's one of the most challenging things. And like you said, it's sometimes things line up and the bird does what it's supposed to do, and you might be successful. And then other times, you know, not so much. But the I know that blind will definitely help me in a mobile. You can pack it up, leave the chair. You don't have a ton of gear out there, but you're able to pursue the animal. But yeah, man, that's exciting. That's super exciting. There is no better rush than killing a turkey with the bow. One of my good friends got one in a service I remember, got one on public land last year with a bow, and we still talk about it all the time. It was his first turkey too. I'm like, man, you better get a lottery ticket.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, it's, I probably bow hunted for, I don't know, 6 or 8 years before I even tried it, with turkeys. But yeah, then it was a couple of years, maybe even three, before I got it done. And it was, yeah, incredibly rewarding, and I was excited. And so yeah, I'm ready to get that Merriam with a bow. So that's what I'll be doing this year up at my brother's in Nebraska. I think probably opening day here, I'll stick with I'll stick with the Mossberg. But yeah, that's probably more just so I can, because I can kill two. I only bought one tag for Nebraska, so I can kill two here in Missouri. So I'll probably get one done first, and then I'll probably switch to the bow.
Nice. No, that's, I mean, I'm, that's kind of how I do things, especially like with hog hunting. You take a few out with the gun and then, or the shotgun, and then you can finish up with the bow out. Everyone always wants to come in. They're like, I want to kill it with a bow. I'm like, let's do the gun first. And I'm like, I got one guy. He's like, I shoot professional. I'm like, I know, I get it, but it's just, I'd rather you get your feet wet. And then there's no shortage of hogs or turkeys here. You get four, turkey tags, like there's plenty of, so you can really challenge yourself. But I'm like, let's do this first so you can see how the animal reacts. You can be used to where you're shooting, things like that. I have five WMAs within an hour of my house, so like our options are,
Oh, nice.
if you have the will, there's a way, trust me. Like if you can get out there and you ain't scared to get out there and the heat don't bother you, you will get on something, or at least get really close. I've been doing hunt links here since 2017. I've had two people not get birds that came back the following year and got their birds. And I'll be honest with you, we had opportunities. It wasn't the ones we wanted,
Sure. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, especially when you're getting people with, like in your situation where you get to go with different people and see that sort of excitement and get people excited and into turkey hunting. That's the most fun, and that's all obviously a lot of people's goal, but especially here at Alps, we have our Share the Lifestyle initiative and our program that we try to get people to more or less sign up or at least commit to be mentors to folks. And that doesn't matter if it's youth. Youth is obviously and at least arguably the most important thing in the future of hunting is to get youth involved, but also just get other adults or ladies, whatever, involved in hunting. But turkey is just so exciting, when they're up close and they're rumbling you when they're gobbling, and it's nice and crisp in the morning in the spring. Anyway, so it's fun. I'm getting excited thinking about it.
No, me too, man. We open this weekend, so I'm super excited. I love that. Share the Lifestyle. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know. I didn't really look much into that, and I really like that y'all do that. And that's where I think a lot of our values align. And there's a huge reason why I wanted to get y'all on the podcast. The team had obviously been asking, hey, we'd like to hear a little bit more about Alps. They've been around for a while, family oriented, have a lot of the same values, but I didn't know about the Share the Lifestyle. So that's awesome, man. That's what it's all about. At the end of the day, like conservation, getting people out there. Like I tell people all the time, I talk to people, they're like, I like doing my own thing. So do I do my own thing 75% of the time, but you doing that 25% with other people, like you change their lives. Like you can literally, and then conservation at the end of the day, like more license fees equals more conservation. Less license fees is less conservation. Like our money's not coming from anywhere else, to fund wildlife and things like that. So it's coming from us.
No doubt, no doubt. And like I said, that spans from youth all the way up. And truly, in my opinion, when you can teach somebody and get them excited about something like hunting, let's just stay with the turkey. That sort of mentality that you breed in them, and that and those experiences definitely transcend into regular everyday life, whether it's work or whatever else. Just work ethic or whatever it may be, being able to commit and go out there and really focus in on trying to get a turkey, because it can be hard. But yeah, just getting people excited about that is something we really, really love to do.
And that was actually a last question I have here. I know you kind of touched on it a little bit, so if you want to dive a little more into it, be my guest. If not, we'll get some credentials out here so the listeners can see where to find you and things like that. But what as far as moving forward, Alps has obviously been doing this for over 30 years. Moving forward, what would you say is the goal of the company and the plan for the future?
So, we continue to try, at least from my perspective, as a company, we obviously are big on family and making products that something that gets probably lost out there is our warranty that people don't realize. And we have a lifetime warranty on our products that we stand beside, and we are unbelievably workable with folks when things happen to their packs. So we really, really stand behind things. So developing products that match that standard is something that we will always continue to strive for. And another thing is innovation. We try to really, I know I touched a little bit earlier about how a lot of our products have these hidden features that might not get shown on the website or might not get shown when we talk about it in videos, and then people call in and say, hey, what's this for? That sort of thing. So that's fun to explain to you. But innovation is huge for us on the product development side as well. But yeah, I think from that perspective, designing and putting products out there at those good prices that are really high quality products that we stand behind with a lifetime warranty is always going to be our top priority.
So something I do here, Joe. Well, let's do this first. Let's do this. So what I'm going to do is I don't know if you've ever done this before, but I did a podcast not too long ago with The Lost Mender, and Keith did something that I really liked, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to try it on Joe here. He's going to be the guinea pig. But a popcorn question. So I had 5 popcorn questions. Pretty much you got, 30 seconds or less to first word that pops to mind type thing. But before we dive into that, let's leave our listeners with your credentials here. Where can they find you? I'm going to add this to show notes, but as far as, is there a good way to contact y'all if they have any questions, and where can they find your products?
So our main website is alpsbrands.com, and that will take you to our Alps Mountaineering site. Anything Browning, camping or hunting blinds, we also make, obviously Alps Outdoors. And then we have more of a family camping brand called Cedar Ridge. But if you're looking strictly for hunting stuff, Alps Outdoors, outdoors with a Z on the end instead of an S, alpsoutdoors.com. And then if you have questions that aren't answered as you surf through our site, just down at the bottom of any page, you can contact customer service. And our customer service line, our department is top notch. We really focus heavily on that too.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So, you ready, Joe? You ready to hit the popcorn questions?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, so, Joe, you get one state to hunt turkey in all of the United States. What's it going to be?
Nebraska.
All right, next one. In your turkey vest, doesn't matter which vest you have, what is the number one item you're never going to leave at home without?
Slate call.
All right. So number one piece of advice or life lesson that you've learned while hunting birds?
Get a mentor and, go out with them and learn. It's great to go learn by yourself, but with, not everybody owns land. So, and sometimes you can go with somebody that does. Sometimes you need some help. It can be intimidating to go on public ground. So yeah, get a mentor.
So, innovation, when you are thinking product designing, when you are thinking innovation, when you're thinking of what you want to do next, what would you say is a top muse or inspiration for you?
So what I like to do and what we like to do is look at our current products, look what's out there on the market, look for holes in that market, or maybe things that we've had in mind for a while. And just try to focus in on that and make it as good as possible, but not put it out too soon. We like to make sure it is ready to go. So yeah, from an innovation standpoint, we just get together, throw ideas out there, look at different categories in hunting, and sometimes not even hunting, different aspects of different things, whether it's camping or whatever else, hiking. Can we incorporate that? Because it would be really cool to put in a turkey vest or just whatever.
Awesome, man. And last question I have for you here is, what is your absolute favorite thing about hunting or the outdoors?
My favorite thing is The versatility. So I love to go out by myself and sit in a tree stand, and I also love to go with a buddy or two and hunt turkeys or hunt by myself, because it's just such a nice change of pace. I love to sit in a blind, in a duck blind, or in a layout blind, or whatever else, and hunt waterfowl, and just, you know, converse and get that camaraderie with other people in the morning. I like going upland hunting and being able to walk and see the dogs work. So I like the versatility of what hunting brings and what you can learn and the lifelong friendships you can make.
Awesome, Joe. Well, that's all that I have, my friend. I really appreciate you jumping on. I'm going to have to help you get this Osceola. So we're going to chat. We'll get you down here. We've got public opportunities, small tracks of private, things like that. And I think you'll really enjoy the different experience. You're gonna realize some versatility there with how our birds act. I know every state's like, oh, my game animals are this. But I'm telling you, Florida really... it opens your mind and you're like, wow, that this is what it definitely lets you know if you're a turkey hunter or if you just hunt turkey.
Well, yeah, I've never hunted in Florida, so you might change my question number one answer to which state.
For sure, man, for sure. But yeah, brother, again, I appreciate you jumping on, and we'll definitely have to do this again soon, maybe when we get a little bit closer to deer season or a little bit before, when people kind of start getting their gear and supplies ready. Maybe we can jump on and we'll do a little bit more about the waterfowl and whitetail line.
Yeah, man, that sounds great.
Awesome. So that's Joe Schrader. He is the product development at Alps, and y'all are listening to Hunt Link by Service Sign.